You Will Be Hated by All Nations by Robert Royal. In just the past few days, hundreds of Christians have been murdered, raped, and tortured in Syria. When news outlets even notice what's happening. Yesterday's New York Times only carried an update of a previous article, and the Washington Post laid a story on the massacres appeared Friday. They usually only mention the attacks on civilians or Alawites, the Islamic sect followed by the al-Assad family, the former rulers of Syria. It's true that Syrian Christians are caught up in a larger political turmoil in their homeland. But like Christians around the world, it's also true that they're being killed and persecuted specifically because of their faith. I'm more than a little sensitive to injustices like these because my book, The Martyrs of the New Millennium, The Global Persecution of Christians in the 21st Century, will be published in a few weeks. Anyone who looks systematically at what's been happening to Christians in the first quarter of our century, and not only in the Middle East, Africa, China, and the Far East, but even in our once Christian West, cannot help but be shocked. By quite sober estimates, something like 300 million Christians worldwide are under threat. This book is something of a sequel to my Catholic Martyrs of the 20th Century, which responded to Pope John Paul II's request that, as part of the celebrations of the 2000 Jubilee year, the Church remember the martyrs of the previous century. He organized an inspiring event at the Colosseum on May 7, 2000, where representatives of the Catholic Church, the Orthodox, and Protestants told their martyr stories. I gave the Pope a copy of my book that morning. Aid to the Church in Need, USA, asked me to write the new book because of the essential work they do in many countries where Christians are not only dying but need outside support. ACN International will translate it into several languages and publish it in various countries as part of the 2025 Jubilee celebrations. And we're hoping, as in 2000, to present the Pope with a copy in May. The shift that has occurred in the years between these two volumes is telling. In 2000, to write of Christian martyrs was to look back at the totalitarianism that produced high body counts in the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact nations, Nazi Germany, China, the Mexican and Spanish Civil Wars, and so forth. The clashes and deaths occurred almost entirely as a result of modern atheism seeking to stamp out Christianity. Communism was the world champion. That's still the case in North Korea, by common agreement, the current champ. China, with little pushback from Rome, and Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Cuba ditto. But by far the largest body counts now are from militant Islam. The Indian/British novelist Salman Rushdie, who was the subject of a fatwa by Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini and was severely injured and blinded in one eye by a militant Muslim in New York, has said, after having overcome fascism, Nazism, and Stalinism, the world now faces a new totalitarian global threat, Islamism. The threat exists not only in the Middle East, though it waxes and wanes there owing to circumstances. Western forces were able to suppress ISIS in the Middle East and North Africa for a while, though ISIS affiliates and similar organizations linger on. But the ideology migrated to Central Africa, where many of the most violent persecutions of Christians now take place. In Nigeria alone, almost 5,000 Christians are murdered every year. The Biden administration dropped Nigeria from the list of countries of particular concern. The Trump administration could do Christians a great service by putting Nigeria back. Even worse, movements in several African nations as well as in the Far East are explicitly in the business of trying to create a worldwide Islamic caliphate. International institutions and Western governments do little to stop these developments, don't even say very much, for two reasons, in my estimation. First, there's a kind of implicit racism in play. It's as if the world has decided that it can't expect Arabs or Africans or Asians to live up to basic moral norms. There's also a failure to understand that the world is not a place where, as many soft-headed Westerners believe, we can all just coexist. As one of our original contributors, Father James Shaw, once observed after an Islamic suicide bombing, people in the West tend to explain such acts as responses to oppression or as violations of international norms, usually itself defined in terms of Western political philosophy that no suicide bomber himself would ever follow. Most Muslims are peaceful, at least for the short run. But this religious clash of visions is an uncomfortable reality that pluralistic societies in the West are going to find themselves confronting in the longer term. Indeed, some already are. Many Catholics know of a notorious beheading during Mass of Father Jacques Hamel in France. But far fewer know of the three Mass attendees in Nice whose throats were cut shortly after, and many more knife incidents in France, Germany, and the UK. The UK has even begun to practice what many call two-tiered policing when it comes to crimes committed by Muslim immigrants, even imposing virtual blasphemy laws against people who comment publicly on such obvious and frequent occurrences. And we in North America are hardly free of anti-Christian acts. Mexico is the most dangerous nation on earth for a Catholic priest owing to the cartels and widespread criminality. In the United States, our bishops have documented hundreds of anti-Catholic hate crimes occurring each year. In Canada, dozens of churches were burned over alleged mass graves at Catholic-run schools a century ago. Pope Francis even traveled to Canada to apologize. But the Canadian government just suspended investigation into those mass graves after finding nothing. And this, for me, indicates the second large reason why the West says and does little about anti-Christian violence and persecution. Our elites believe that Christianity's past is something shameful and to be outgrown, that even, owing to some of its beliefs, deserves to be discriminated against. Some Christians think they hate us because of our missteps, but no. Many hate us for what we rightly profess. Christ himself warned us, "If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own." John 15, verse 18. TCT is going to be paying special attention to that hatred in some new initiatives in the coming months. Stay tuned.